Good morning, everyone. Please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. This morning we'll continue looking at how Paul is talking about how he encourages the people of Thessalonica. And how they encourage him. And the encouragement is very specific. It's to encourage them in their faith, in their belief in Jesus. When going through hard times and they're suffering, they're being persecuted for their faith, he's listing out ways and talking about ways that he and Paul, and Timothy and Silas and other Christians and all of us are to help one another to believe, to hold on to Jesus, especially in tough times. How we are to help one another grow in our faith, in our relationship with Jesus. And we're going to look at that a little bit more this morning. This morning we're going to focus on 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 8 through 13. But I'm going to start reading from verse 6. Just a little bit of a recap from last week, but it kind of splits the paragraph here. So I just wanted for a little bit of context. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly, night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. This is God's word. Paul here describes being together. And we looked at that last week. That was part of the way that Paul was encouraged and wanted to encourage the Thessalonians was by being together. And he continues on with that now. The first part in verses 8 through 10, he expresses how we are each other's joy, and that this is an encouragement in our faith, and that this is how we love one another. This is part of the love we express towards one another, is that because we love one another, we are each other's joy. Paul, after saying how encouraged he was, this is in verses 6 and 7, looking back, in verses 6 and 7, he said he was so encouraged when Timothy came back from visiting you, being physically present with you, and told us that you are standing firm in the faith. Paul says, I was so encouraged by that because, and he goes on in verse 8, for now we live, here's our what our life is all about, if you are standing fast in the Lord. His whole reason for living here, his whole desire in life is that those whom he loves, who he's ministered to, who he shared the gospel with, that they would be walking with Jesus. And he hears that they are, and it's just the greatest joy of his life. He just feels completely fulfilled here now to hear that they are walking, or in this case, standing, the word he uses, standing fast in the Lord. And why is that so important for him? Verse 9, "For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God." We feel such joy because of you all. This is really the ultimate experience, feeling of a job well done, right? When we work hard and we accomplish something, there's a good feeling about that. We see a lot of that right now with graduations going on. Those who graduated from high school or college, they've worked hard, they've finished, and there's a good feeling about that, a sense of accomplishment there. The sense that something you've dedicated your life to, and you get to see some fruit from that. Now, that won't always happen, right? That won't always be the case. In fact, the scriptures describe the vast majority of the fruit of our love for Jesus and one another that we will see will be in heaven, not here on earth. But sometimes, as an encouragement to us, God gives us this foretaste, this little sampling of what we will experience, of the joy we will experience in heaven. I think I've shared before that I have the honor at Thanksgiving, when we gather as a family, of cutting the turkey. It's a big responsibility here, you know. I didn't have any professional training in this, you know, so kind of, you know, going on what we can do, and, you know, over some experience here. But I have the honor of doing that. And as I cut it up and kind of put all the pieces on the plate, many of you know my dear godmother, Trudy. She's the one who does all the, who cooks the turkey, right? And she always kind of comes in and sees how it's going on, you know, and she always asks me, "So how's it taste?" And I'm like, I'm going to wait to the table to taste it. No. She always wants to have me, and she has a little herself, have me have a little bit of a foretaste just to see how it was. It's kind of one of the perks that I get of being able to cut the turkey. You get a little bit of that foretaste ahead of time, and you anticipate, oh my goodness, this is so good, and what's coming up is going to be so great because we have this big feast laid before us there. And that is sometimes what we experience by encouraging one another, because seeing each other grow in the faith, to know that we've invested in someone's life for the sake of Jesus, in Jesus' name, and see them growing in the faith, is such a great joy. We catch another glimpse here of Paul's joy, and also the ways in which Paul ministers, blesses, loves the Thessalonians. In verse 10 is that he prays for them. Now that sounds so obvious, like, yeah, of course, he prays for them, right? Okay, move on, right? But Paul mentions this again and again in his letter to the Thessalonians. And we see again how passionately Paul feels towards these brothers and sisters. Verse 10, "We pray most earnestly, night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith." We saw last week how Paul was prevented by Satan, he says, from going and visiting them, and how much he wanted to be physically with them. What an encouragement it is to be physically present with one another. We're not always able to do that. Paul wasn't able to do that here. It appears about 5 years, on his third missionary journey, he is able to go back and visit them. That's his longing. And he prays earnestly day and night to be together. It's such a beautiful, I think, pronouncement of his love for his brothers and sisters here, that he longs to be with them face to face. We see in Hebrews chapter 10, which I should have marked to get there faster. There we go. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, the author writes, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." Right? So it's a pause right there. Here's his desire. What can we do to encourage one another, to love one another, to help us to love other people and to help us to do good works? What is it we can do? Verse 25, "Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." There's a call out there that physical presence matters, to be physically together. I thank God for the technology that we have that allows us, especially through the pandemic, that allowed us to still virtually meet together. But there's such a special blessing in being physically present. I just encourage all of us, when we can, as we can, to physically be present together, whether it's on Sunday morning during church, whether it's on a Friday morning during a Bible study or before church, or just throughout the week. This Wednesday we'll gather to pray, whether it's formal times of gathering or casual times of gathering, that we physically be present with one another. And I realize that we can't always do that. I realize that. And so we thank God for telephones and for letters and emails and texts and video and all those things. Absolutely. And there is something special about physically being together. Second thing here in verse 10, and we're going to get to prayer in just a second, or in more detail into prayer. We're actually going to see a prayer in a second here. But in verse 10, Paul says he earnestly prays night and day that he may see them face to face to encourage them. And secondly, to supply what's lacking in your faith. I think that's a really, really interesting line. Because in one way, nothing's lacking in their faith. They have the Holy Spirit. They're believers in Jesus Christ. So there's nothing lacking in their faith when we have the Holy Spirit. But I think what he is referring to here is that they are still, as he is and all of us are, growing in our faith. And Paul longs to be with them to explain the faith more, talk more about Jesus, encourage them more, go through the scriptures with them, yes. But I think there's one other aspect here of how their faith is, or what is lacking in their faith. I think it's the same thing he's been talking about, physical presence. I think Paul is recognizing the reality that being physically together encourages our faith. It's hard sometimes when we're struggling in our faith because we may feel depressed, and there's the natural reaction of that is to pull away, right? We don't want to be around other people. And it's hard for us to figure out how to love sometimes. Most of us try to love by the way we want to be loved. I just encourage us to work hard to learn and figure out and consider how the person you want to bless is loved, how they receive love, How can you encourage someone who is feeling very discouraged about their life and really having trouble seeing God in their life? How can you encourage them if they are shy and are pulling back? You know, charging in like a bull in a china shop may not be the best approach. Just randomly without notice banging on their door to come in may not be a blessing to them. For some it may. And so let us consider how we may encourage one another. Well, next, we get to see that while Paul can't physically be with them, Paul says, just in verse 10, that he earnestly prays night and day for them. Now we get to see Paul's prayer. Paul's going to pause here, and it's going to be one of his prayers. In many of Paul's letters, we get to see him or hear him pray, where he actually goes into prayer, sometimes describing specifically what he's praying for. And I love this. This is such a help for me. Left to myself, my prayers tend to be focused on my immediate need. And that's wonderful. But God can hear that. But I love to see the prayers in the scriptures because they help me to open up and see more of who God is in prayer. They help me break out of the rut from just looking at my own immediate problems and help me to see God at work in those around me and in the world around me. And so Paul's prayers and his letters are wonderful. It's also, you know, the Psalms are just amazing. One of the things I love about the Psalms as prayers is you see when usually David, but when the authors of the Psalms are really struggling and going through difficult times, you see how they pray. But what's amazing is sometimes they're praying after God has helped them through a difficult circumstance. And so they're thanking God, saying, God, that was such a tough situation. I prayed to you. You got me through it. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And sometimes they're praying in the middle of their horrible circumstances, and God hasn't answered yet. And that's amazing, isn't it? To see them and hear them pray when they're really struggling with where God is. I love, like, Psalm 13 is one of this with David. How long, O God, how long will you ignore me? And yet he doesn't curse God. He ends by expressing faith that he will see God. I just haven't yet, and I don't understand why. Right? So we see Paul's prayer here in verses 11 through 13. And I think there are three general things he prays for here. Verse 11, he prays, as we should probably expect, as what Paul has been talking about this whole time, he prays to be together with the Thessalonians. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the prayer, right? Direct our way to you. Oh, Lord, Satan has stopped me. Break down the paths, the blockades that Satan has put in place, which aren't described. We don't know what they are, so that I can go be with these brothers and sisters I love. Being together encourages one another, strengthens us, helps us to believe more in our Lord Jesus. Second, in verse 12, Paul prays to love one another. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you. There's a lot in there. Obviously, they have some love for one another as believers, and they've gathered together. And Paul prays that their love would increase, would abound, would overflow more and more for one another. That as the days and months and years go by, that they're knowing each other, they're encouraging, proactively helping one another, yes, with physical needs, absolutely, and with their spiritual needs, with their emotional needs, that they would learn how to selflessly, I would suggest, it's not in the text here, but humbly care for each other, love one another, seek what is best for one another. He's not saying that they aren't doing it. He just wants that to grow more and more. For that is what it means to follow Jesus. That's who Jesus is. He loves. We're going to celebrate communion in just a moment. This most powerful picture of Jesus' love for us, that he gave himself for us, that all who believe in him would be saved because of his sacrifice on the cross for us. Then there's these three little words at the end of verse 12 that I think should challenge us too. He's prayed that they would grow in their love for one another, and now, and for all. He's referring to non-Christians here. He prays that they would grow in their love for the very people who are attacking them, who are making their life hard, the people who disagree with them, the people who don't believe as they believe, people who may think what they believe is stupid, the people who maybe just be going about their lives and not really give a rip about what they care about, the people who may think that they're judgmental and mean. Says, I pray that you would grow in your love for them. How do we love those who are not believing as we believe? Now, that shouldn't be so hard in general. But we've tended to build up this paradigm where anyone who doesn't believe as we do, and what if it's religious, if it's political, if it's environmental, if it's relational, pick any area of your life. If someone doesn't believe as we do, they're the enemy. They're bad, they're evil. But here, God in his scriptures calls us to love them and grow in our love for them. I make a suggestion. If there's someone that, or some group of people that you're mad at or frustrated with, consider for a moment what struggles they may be going through, what difficulties they may be having, what suffering they may be going through. And don't assume that the easy answer is you just need Jesus. It doesn't take away all of our problems, all of our struggles. But consider and pray humbly, sacrificially, how to love those who do not know Jesus, who are not like us in terms of their belief system. Third and final, Paul prays to strengthen our faith, that our faith would be strengthened until Jesus comes again. Verse 13. So that he, Jesus, may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. So that he may establish your hearts. That word there also is strengthen, gird up your hearts. Help us to stand in holiness. Reminding us again that it's not just about we believe in Jesus, then we can do whatever the heck we want to do, and who cares about being good and being righteous because, well, I'm born again, I'm saved, so I can live however I want. That is to crucify Jesus all over again. But he desires us to stand strong in holiness. And then he reminds us of what's coming. And I think this is a great encouragement to us. He prays that we would be strong, that the Thessalonians would be strong until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus Christ is coming again. And it's been 2,000 years. And it's hard to remember that sometimes. And so Paul reminds them after only a few years here. And we should remind one another. I know things are difficult. But Jesus is coming again. And then his kingdom forever. And so we encourage one another. We love one another. We help one another. Let us encourage each other's faith this week through prayer, but also by being together, intentionally, purposefully, speaking to one another of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is with us. And I pray, O Lord God, that we would be able to be with one another physically, through phone, cards, all different ways, Lord. I pray especially for those who are shut in and not able to get out or get around easily, Lord, that we may consider them and reach out to them, O Lord God, this week. And help us, Father, to love those who do not know you. That we may be people who follow Jesus and love others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.